Our Bible reading today comes from Joshua 9, verse 1 to 21. Now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, the kings in the hill country, in the western foothills and along the entire coast of the Mediterranean Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They put worn-out patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, "We have come for a distant country. Make a treaty with us." The Israelites said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us, so how can we make a treaty with you?" "We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God, for we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth.
And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, 'Take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, "We are your servants. Make a treaty with us." This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you. But now, see how dry and moldy it is. And these wineskins that we filled were new, but see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey. The Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors, living near them. So the Israelites set out and on the third day came to their cities, Gibeon, Kephira, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack them because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The whole assembly grumbled against the leaders, but all the leaders answered, "We have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live, so that God's wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we swore to them." They continued, "Let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers in the service of the whole assembly." So the leaders' promise to them was kept.
Joey and Hallie. Today, I got up early in the morning, 2 a.m. at 2:30, and then I spent time with God to pray and to deliver well. So hopefully the Holy Spirit worked to you and then you can understand it today. Thank you. So before I'm going to share, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thanks for today. We come before you to worship and to listen to your message, Father. Let us be full of the Holy Spirit. Let us understand what you are saying through your word, Father. If there are some people who heard from something, you may heal them. You may let them know who you are. You are Almighty God. You are the Savior, you are the Lord, Father. Today, I want to give my life to you, my heart to you, and you can use me for your glory to share your message well, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we learned about Achan and the city of Ai. Achan was an Israelite who chose to obey God's very clear instructions. He kept some valuable things from Jericho even though he was told not to go near those things. Because of Achan's sin, the Israelites lost a big battle with the city of Ai. But as Chris preached last week, the Israelites repented of their sin and turned to God, and they were faithful after that failure. God was no longer angry with his people, and God blessed them. Today, I'm talking about God, who is essential for success. When you see bulletin, you can see the name of title today. God is essential for success. We look at the events told in Joshua chapter 9 to 10. The Bible tells us that when the kings of other cities in Canaan heard how the Israelites destroyed Ai and Jericho, they came together to make war against Joshua and the Israelites. However, there was one city that did not want to go to war with the Israelites. Can you guess? It was the city of Gibeon. It was not far from Ai. Let's have a look at a map today. Is Canaan in the time of Joshua? Yeah, that man is a Joshua. Yeah, looks so, very handsome, I think. So when you think about book of Joshua, you know, so Israelite, they stood in front of the Jordan River, and then they crossed the Jordan River. Can you see that Jordan River? And then they conquered. Firstly, they conquered Jericho. And then what is next one? Ai. They conquered Ai. Last week, Chris talked about Ai and Achan. And also today, Gibeon is the very important area to talk about today's message, I think. And Gibeon was a large city, larger than Ai. And the men of Gibeon was great fighters. Still, the Gibeonites were afraid of the Israelites because they had heard that God had instructed his people to destroy all the people in the land. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16 and 18. However, in the city of the nation, the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance, to not leave alive anything that breathed. Completely destroy them. The Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. As the Lord your God has commanded you, otherwise they will teach you to follow all the detestable things they do in worshiping their gods. And you will sin against the Lord. That is, the Deuteronomy. Oh, sorry. This is a click. I had to click it twice anyway. So you can give time to read this one. So according to the Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16 and 18, God is saying, do not leave alive anything they breathe. Completely destroy them. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to ask you one thing about God's commandment. What was God's rule for war for all the cities inside the land of Canaan? What is the answer? These are all of the people in the land. That was God's commandment. Why? Because they worship first God, and they would teach the Israelites to follow first gods. That's why God really wanted to destroy all land, I think. Let's see our map again. Can you say Gibeon? Gibeon is the city. Is the city of Gibeon inside the land of Canaan? Yes, it is. So, city of Gibeon is inside the land of Canaan. Yeah. The Gibeonites had heard these rules. They knew that if the Israelites obeyed God, they were doomed and destroyed. They believed God was powerful enough to do what he said he would. So they came up This is Gibeonites. Gibeonites. So they came up with a plan to trick Joshua and deceive Joshua and the Israelites. They sent a group of men to Joshua, but first they put on worn-out clothes. When you see the picture, I think it's the leader, and behind the leader, that many people, they put on, you know, worn clothes. Worn clothes. So Joshua chapter 9, verse 3 to 6. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp in Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, "We have come from far from here. We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us. Make a treaty with us." When you read today's passage, you know that Gibeonites, they deceive to Joshua and the Israelites. They just come from close area, just 1 or 2 days. But they tended to come to Joshua from far from area, because Gibeonites, they want to deceive, you know, trick to Joshua and the Israelites. Gibeonites made it look like they had been traveling for a really long time from a very far away place. Actually, as I told you, the tree was very small distance, only 2 or 3 days downhill. They really deceived Joshua and Israelite. They showed the moldy bread and said it was still warm when they left for their trip. They said their clothes and sandals were all worn out because the trip was so long. They said, "Make a trip with us." They really want to make a trip with Joshua and Israelite, because they think Israelite is very strong. That's why they trick to Joshua and Israelite. So what did Joshua do about the Gibeonites' request? Do you know that? Woman, you raise your hand. Would you like to say something? What did Joshua do about the Gibeonites' request? Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them leave. Both of them became a partner. They couldn't make it a partner and make a treaty with them, but finally, they became a partner. So, what should Joshua have done? Next question, I want to ask you, what should Joshua have done? Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, friend. Cameron? Asking God. Ask God. Read this important verse with me. Very important, this one. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14 to 15. The Israelites sampled their provision, but did not inquire of the Lord. They did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them leave, and the leaders of assembly ratified it by oath. Joshua and Israelites did not inquire of the Lord. They did not ask God. That is the problem. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them leave. We can see it coming. Joshua made an oath that they could leave. All of the Israelite leaders agreed and made an oath in the name of the Lord that all of their people could leave. By the way, 3 days later, the Israelites found that the Gibeonites lived near them and had deceived them. After 3 days, Israelites reckoned that they are from a very close area. Then the Israelites were very upset with their own leaders for making the peace treaty with them. Did you see that? Israelite response? They are very upset with their own leaders. Joshua chapter 9, verse 18. But the Israelites did not attack them because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The whole assembly grumbled against the leaders. Whole assembly was upset against the leaders. Can you see that, that problem? Leader didn't ask God. And then they made a treaty with, you know, Gibeonite. And then Israelites are upset with Joshua and the leaders. The Israelites did not want to make God angry by going back on the on their earth oath. So they did not go to war with the Gibeonites. They did not destroy them. Instead, they made the Gibeonites to be their slaves. This may seem like a good solution, yeah, isn't it? But it was not what God had commanded. God told the Israelites to destroy all of the people in the land of Canaan. Because if they lived, the Israelites would eventually follow their first God and sin against their God. Sin against God. Later on, in the book of Judges, the Gibeonites caused the Israelites to fail. Do you see that picture so far? Can you see how poor leadership affects God's people? The leaders had to ask God. They had to spend time listening to God. But they didn't. There is a problem in chapter 9 as the leaders caused the nation of Israel not to experience success. We need to apply this learning to our church context. I want to ask you, especially leaders, are we praying to God as leaders to lead God's people well? Are we asking leaders, I want to ask you guys, all church members, are we asking leaders to pray and spend time with God? Are we as leaders asking God to move us forward? Our theme is to move forward this year. But are we moving forward by asking God? Do you know that, who he is? Yeah. Morel? Very good. Have you seen him? In? Okay, you met him. Okay. I really want to meet him, but I don't have any opportunity because he passed away already. Anyway, 1959 Billy Graham crusade in Australia. Do you remember that? Billy Graham crusade, Billy Graham movement in 1959. He came to Australia in 1959 to lead a revival in Australia. He spent a lot of time listening to God's voice before leading this movement. After his preaching for people in 1959, churches were restored and strengthened. It increased the number of churchgoers, theological students, and missionaries. Large number are converted. The Sunday Mirror wrote the headline, "Gangster Gives Up Revolver Burglar." That is a hard word. And if it's hard, just forget about this word. And magistrate A.E. Debenham claimed that the Billy Graham crusade had caught crime in Sydney by an estimated 50%. At the time, there were big issues about the illegal birth rate and consumption of alcohol. After Billy Graham preaching for revival, did things reduce rapidly? Stuart Pigeon, who is the author, Speed, Word, and World, says in his book about Billy Graham crusade that this revival starts from prayer. Before Billy Graham came to Australia, the group from Billy Graham in USA asked many churches in Australia to pray for revival, to pray for this movement. On 1st July 1958, there were 48 prayer partners. By April 1959, there were some 40,000. Can you see that? This vital national prayer offensive was launched, was begun, and an all night of prayer in 5 centers in Melbourne on 21st September 1958. By 10 April in 1959, the evening of prayer was held in 51 centers, many centers. In the center, they get together to pray for revival. They have compassion for revival at the time. This prayer moved God's heart to lead revival in Australia. And let us see success in Australia. Similarly, to move forward and bring God's will and His vision, leaders have to pray. By the way, it's not enough only for the leaders to pray. Revival needs, moving forward needs more people to pray. So we all have to pray to move forward in the name of Jesus with the same prayer point, same heart, same goal. Amen. Let us go together. Why don't you pray together with the same prayer point? We can pray at the church together on Sunday, a prayer meeting at the church, and do secret prayer, in other words, individual prayer. We can do secret prayer in a quiet place. Paul Washer, who is an American pastor, called people to secret prayer. It is to pray in a quiet place. Jesus went to pray in a quiet place to pray. Let's just see Matthew chapter 14, 23. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to what? To pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Sorry, let me read. It's over there, sorry. When you pray, go into your room. Close the door and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Amen. Could you pray in a quiet place just like Jesus did? Could you pray for church about name change of church, finance issue, and church property? Some week we just, you know, they went in a church property. What is called? Property? What's the name of property? Yeah? they know my anyway. So we just went there and then just have a look at and the two see in a church property. And also we think about the name change of church and the finance issue. Could you pray for church issue together? To move forward in 2018, we have to pray for this. Could you ask God to lead our moving forward in 2018? Now we go next to chapter 10. When the Israelites entered the promised land, there were other people living in Jerusalem. The king of Jerusalem had heard about how Joshua and the Israelites had destroyed Jericho and Ai. This king was heard about the Gibeonites making a treaty with the Israelites. The king and his people were very alarmed because Gibeon was a great city with a great army. Why would the Gibeonites treaty make the king nervous? Why would the Gibeonites treaty make the king nervous? The Israelites already had a very big army, and God was on their side. Now the Gibeonites would help Israel. The Gibeonites would not help the people in Jerusalem. Therefore, the king of Jerusalem asked five other kings to join him and attack which area? Gibeon. So the armies of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. Can you see that? Lachish, Jarmuth, Hebron, Eglon. They get together to attack which area? Gibeon. All join together and attack Gibeon. The men of Gibeon quickly sent a messenger to Joshua at his camp in Gilgal. Joshua, now it's urgent. Please come and help me. Other nation attack me. So we had, you know, they could treat each other. Please come and help me. From this point, Joshua made a very important decision. He was different from, you know, chapter 9. Now it's different. Can you see? The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. The passage sure was, Joshua spent time with God. In chapter 9, we can see he didn't ask in front of the battle. But now in chapter 10, he spent time with God. Can you see the difference between chapter 9 and chapter 10? This difference. He spent time with God, and God said to Joshua, do not be afraid, I'll be with you. Go and fight against other nations. Can you see the difference? Joshua chapter 10, verse 10. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Can you see that? God's word. After Joshua asked the Lord, spend time with God and God work. God defeated them completely. I praise God's, you know, victory in this chapter. God's victory. God's victory. And then Joshua asked for something very unusual, strange. He asked for the sun to stand still in the sky. This is not unusual, isn't it? Yeah? Joshua said the sun to stand still in the sky. Can you see that? Sun in the sky. They start to fight in the morning, but still, sun. Yeah, in the sky, and until they defeat all the enemy. Enemy, can you see that? The sun, yeah. Sun stop. It was the day when the Lord listened to a devout man, Joshua, which means Joshua said in the name of God, and then the sun stopped. You can be sure that God was fighting for Israel. If you believe that the passage, God also fight for us. Whenever we face the issue, God fight for us. So battle belongs to God. So if you see some issue, that's what we have to ask God. Because God will fight for us. God will fight for us. God is essential for success. God is essential for victory. Therefore, darkness did not fall onto Joshua and the Israelites, destroyed all of their enemies. God always keeps his promise to give us the success. I want to say again, battles belong to God. God can give us success when we ask God and trust in him. In chapter 9, Joshua and leaders did not ask God. And then this failure by the leaders caused a big problem for the Israelites. But in chapter 10, we see that leaders spent time with God, especially Joshua, and listened to God's voice. And then Joshua and the Israelites went to fight the enemy, and then God sent them into confusion and did a great miracle. Joshua and the Israelites saw success. Can we see this picture? Can we see today's passage, today's message from God? If you really believe that the passage, message, today God's word, believe. believe that, we have to ask God. Leaders and all church members ask God together with the same idea, with the same prayer point. Sometimes we try to fight with our own thought. Whenever we face barriers and concerns, don't we? We face some concern in our church, for example, as I told you, change of church, finance issue, more church property, more other things. And also in our Christian life, we can have a lot of issues in our life. Many people who are from overseas talk to me, they have, you know, a lot of big issues at the moment. It's a visa issue, very hard to get PR, so at the moment. Also, some people asking me to pray about, you know, their issue, family issue, finance issue, and a business issue, many issues. Now is the time to pray. Now is the time to ask God to lead our issues. Now is time to spend with God to think about moving forward. How can we move forward? How can we, this theme is not only for leaders, but also for others, for church members. God wants you to give us success in our concern and issue, so we have to ask God. Remember that God is essential for success. To see success, to move forward, let's ask God and only trust God this week. Thank you. Let's pray. Let's have time to pray for 1 minute. Whatever you face issue, let's pray now. Let's pray together. Pray for church. Pray for someone who is sick, someone who suffers, someone who is hurting. Let's pray for his family and then business and our Christian life. Pray for Australia. Let's have time praying for 1 minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for today. Thanks for the opportunity to share your word, how amazing you are. You are living God. You are with us. You are Emmanuel God. You gave a theme to move forward in 2018 for West Ride, your church, Father. We want to go together. We want to share prayer point together, Father. We want to move forward together, Father. Now we ask you to lead your church, your people, to move forward together, Father. Let us be wise to ask you, whenever we face some issue in front of us, to not do with all our thought. Rather, let us ask you. You may help us to ask you, because the battle belongs to you. You will fight for us. You may help us to break through all kind of issues in front of us, Father. You may bless us to ask you to seek your kingdom, your will. Heavenly Father, during this week, let us spend time praying. Let us spend time being with you. Let us spend time to ask you in the name of Jesus. And that you may give us an answer, beautiful answer, clear answer to us, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.